Another one. Still going to Suter. Still going to Suter, and he shoots and scores. The captain. Oh, gets the crowd on his feet with that effort. Highlight reel goal.
Another week in the National Lacrosse League schedule is done, and that means another Off the Crossbar podcast here on ilindoor.com. Welcome, my name is Teddy Jenner. If you want to get a hold of me, let me know who you'd like to hear from as we go along this journey. You can drop me an email, otcb@teamradio.ca, or find me on Twitter, twitter.com/offthecrossbar. This week's guest is making his return to the National Lacrosse League after a very devastating knee injury last year in Edmonton while playing for the Minnesota Swarm, and he's one of the best young two-way players in the game. He's the captain of the Minnesota Swarm. He is Andrew Suter. Suits, how are you, buddy?
Not too bad. Thanks a lot for having me on.
No, man. No problem, buddy. Anytime. We're going to get right into it. We're going to cover a lot of topics, but obviously the Minnesota Swarm off to an 0-2 start. Not exactly what you guys were hoping for.
No, it's the exact opposite of what we were hoping for. We're a young team that needs to come together here. The main thing, I think, being that, you know, we saw the two teams that were in the championship game last year, and we're looking for something to measure ourselves up against, and what better way to start than those two? And unfortunately, we came out on the short end of the stick on both of them.
You guys are a team that has always been sort of on the precipice of making that next step. You've been to Western Finals, and you guys have been pushing and pushing, and everyone wants to look at this team as possible contenders. What's holding you guys back right now?
I would think ourselves. I mean, it's great that people want to talk about you, but, I mean, how can you look at teams like, you know, Vancouver and Rochester? Those are kind of, you know, the teams you talk about because they've done it. Sure, we've been to, you know, we've kind of been the maid of honor twice, but we've never been the bride. So we got to kind of buy into a system here, and, you know, we have, I think, three of the best coaches we can have, and they're giving us the systems that, you know, if we do execute them, I think gives us a great opportunity to win. It's just with this young team coming together and realizing, you know, maybe that we do belong there and kind of getting a bit of swagger into our step. But, I mean, as of right now, we're in the basement, and we got to figure out how to get out of there.
Is there an easy fix for this?
I wish I had that answer for you, but I think it's just we just got to continue to work hard. And, you know, we all have to come together as a team. And, you know, like every great team that wins, you have to be a family.
You guys have always prided yourself on being that family atmosphere, and you guys are very tight as a group. Is there an issue possibly with this team being too young, or is that something you guys just need to get over?
I think it's just something we need to get over. I don't think it's too young. I mean, although we only have two guys on our team that have won NLL championships, I mean, there's a couple of really good, you know, championships on our team, whether it be Man Cups, Minto Cups, NCAAs, stuff like that. And although guys haven't won at this level yet, I mean, it's, you know, they've won. And once, I mean, if you know how to win, you know how to win. It's just coming together. And, I mean, I don't think we're too young, but I think we do have to start to mature, and it has to happen right away.
We don't want to harp on it too much, but how much has the loss of Ryan Benesch affected this team?
Ryan Benesch is more than just a great lacrosse player. He's a great team guy in the dressing room. He's just a great all-around human. He comes from an unbelievable family. And, you know, yeah, we obviously do miss him and stuff, but like you said, you can't sit and dwell on it. We're comfortable and we're confident with what we have, and we're going to try to move forward with that.
You guys have moved now to the Eastern Conference. It's where you guys actually started, where the Swarm started even before you got there. Is that a challenge for you guys going from West to East? And because it's actually two kind of different styles of lacrosse that's played in the National Lacrosse League between Eastern teams and Western teams. Is that a bit of an adjustment?
I think it'll be a huge adjustment for us. I mean, you look at how much rougher the defenses are, and not to say that the West Coast is soft, it's just to more so say that the East play a lot more bang-bang type defense where they set you up for a pick and roll because they're going to absolutely take your head off. And I think we have to adjust to that, and our speed is going to have to be our biggest asset.
Speed has always been one of your biggest assets, and as we kind of alluded to at the top of the show, you're coming back after a pretty tough knee injury suffered in week 8 against Edmonton. How was that process? You know, what was the first thoughts going through your head when you had that injury?
I mean, obviously there's words that I'm not going to use, but it was just like, I start the season off with 2-game suspension, and then next thing you know, I play 2.5 games, and then I'm out for the year. It was just, you know, it was devastating. I mean, like you said, you're part of a family, and, you know, I kind of feel like I let them down not being able to be there. So I just kind of used that as motivation to go out and get myself back into the best shape I could be in.
And you've done that in spades. How was the recovery process and your rehab? You're obviously pretty, you know, dedicated to the cause and making sure you were back for the opening game. What was the hardest part about that rehab process?
I think you'd have to look at my mom, my dad, and my sister. Probably be living with me. I was not very happy, and I was finally getting at the point where I was wondering why I was still doing physio, and yeah. It was just kind of like, when is this over, and when do I get to play this game? And, I mean, it sucks. I watched this whole NLL season, then I watched, you know, my boys in Peterborough play, and then you watch, you know, the Man Cup, and just like, all right, like, I'm at the point where I don't even want to watch film. I just want to play the sport.
As a guy that's gone through the knee rehab process after blowing my knee in college, I know that sort of just stir crazy feeling. Was there a moment where you sort of got over that hump and you're like, okay, now I'm on the final stretch and I'm going to be able to play soon?
Yeah. The first time I ran, it was kind of like, okay, this feels good. And you know, just everyone knows how tight the lacrosse community is. And I mean, I got some great messages, you know, Jordan Hall reached out to me and just, you know, coming from a guy that's gone through his knee surgery as well. I did a lot of talking with Tracy Kolesky, who I've become very close with. And, you know, just having guys like that are such great leaders and such ambassadors of the game support you. And, you know, you can kind of call them and, you know, vent to them a little bit. And they always seem to know the right thing to say.
You mentioned that moment where you first ran again. And people who haven't gone through a major knee injury or surgery that limits your ability, it's actually a weird feeling when you first start to take those stronger strides and those bigger steps. Did it bring a smile to your face when you were able to say, okay, now I can really start to step it up?
Yeah, I knew that. It was like, okay, here it is. Like, I kept asking my dad that, like, if I could go faster, and, you know, he kept having to restrain you back. But it's amazing that you can, you know, go from not being able to walk and then 4 months you're sprinting again.
Yeah. The brace, is it something that you're still getting used to?
I hate it. I mean, I'm not a guy that likes getting taped, period. And here I am with this robot-looking leg.
Yeah.
So.
It's a tough thing, and you look at, you know, guys who have gone through the process, you know, I look like a guy like Kurt Malosky and Josh Sanderson, guys who did their knees but never had surgery but always wore the brace and just got so used to it. And then a guy like yourself or myself and John Gunn Jr., guys who absolutely hate it, and within a year they've already tossed the brace away and they're normal. Everyone's different, but have you talked, you mentioned it, Jordan Hall and Tracy Kolesky and guys that you've talked to, but what do you think some of those guys have said was the toughest thing they had to deal with?
Just the same thing, losing something that you love, right? For that 9 or 10 months, you don't get to play the sport you love, you don't get to be around the guys as much as you'd like, and, you know, a restriction more than anything.
You talked about the support group within that family, and even though maybe at times they wanted to kick you out of the house because they were driving you crazy, but how important were your parents and your sister of you know, giving you that support to keep you going?
It was awesome. I mean, my mom especially, she flew out to Minnesota and lived in our team housing for 2 weeks. So she has a new appreciation for, you know, being at home. And, you know, we treated her like gold, and she definitely treated us like gold.
Well, Mama Suits is famous worldwide through the National Lacrosse League for sending, you know, goodie care bags and cookies to the guys. And I believe she's making chairs.
That is something that she more so had made, but she had this idea to kind of get my jersey I wore made into a chair, and it's a collector's item, I guess, for myself now, and it's something pretty special.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, I think people can find it on your Twitter page, and you have pictures of it. I think Nick Rose has one, too. It's basically a big Barca lounge chair, but it is in the shape of a jersey. That's got to be pretty cool to see a mom who is given everything through your entire lacrosse career, but still has that initiative to go a little step further.
Oh, yeah. Between that and then I get roughly 3 or 4 phone calls a week to call friends on other teams to find out who's playing for fantasy lacrosse team.
That's so awesome.
I mean, just an example for last year when she was over at the house, she was trying to figure out who to play.
Yeah.
and we happened to be playing Washington, and she wanted to call Kyle Sorensen and ask him if someone was playing.
So she's into
pretty competitive. Oh, very into it. We have a family mini league and all that stuff.
You guys are a tight family. Another tight family that you're part of is the Orangeville Northmen. The junior Northmen are probably one of the most storied organizations in Canada at the junior level. You're obviously a very proud member of that. How cool is it to see the lineage of players from that organization still having effect throughout this league?
It's awesome. It's something I'm very proud to be a part of, and I wouldn't change anything that happened in junior there for anything. But it's like you said, it's good to see the guys and even the young guys coming up. And a lot of these guys are going over down south there to play D1, and it's great to see them doing that as well.
But it also allows you some friendly ribbing, whether it's through social media or in the media and on the floor. You guys have a pretty tight relationship where, you know, throwing chirps and barbs at each other just goes a long way in tightening that friendship.
Yeah, I mean, anytime my Senators lose to the Leafs or to the New York Islanders, my phone, I think, vibrates for about a half hour just making sure everyone lets me know that I saw the score and, you know, the highlights, and I can tell you pretty much how each goal went in because Rosie's got no problem explaining it to me.
Nick Rose isn't shy of sending out a friendly chirp tweet saying, hey, your team lost to my team.
No, it's amazing how his teams are usually behind your teams, but he still musters up the courage to contact you.
Isn't it great to see the Leafs dropping so fast, though?
It's almost like Christmas morning. Every morning you look at the score app.
Speaking with Andrew Suter of the Minnesota Swarm here on the Off the Crossbar podcast. 2011, you got a chance to play for Team England at the World Indoor Lacrosse Championships. What was that experience like for you?
It was incredible. I mean, obviously everyone's dream is to play for Team Canada, I should say Canadian's dream. But I know I have the advantage of my mom actually grew up in Paisley, Scotland. So I felt the opportunity to represent her side of the family. And, you know, I still have six aunts and uncles that live over there. And, you know, it was unbelievable to be able to represent the Brawley side of my heritage.
And do you hope to do that at the coming World Championship in 2015 in Buffalo?
I hope to make the Team Canada team.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's obviously my goal, but if that doesn't arise, I would, you know, love to represent that side of my family again.
What's your favorite blizzard?
Oh, so I got to go with the Oreo.
How many do you have a week?
Ooh, depends if Mikey Kirk's got sales going on or not down there in Orangeville Beach.
In the past couple of years, Team 22 has evolved into a great partnership with many of the players in the National Lacrosse League, and led by Kurt Stiers and the group at Under Armour. How cool is it to finally, in a sport where we don't get a lot of publicity and we don't have big-name endorsement deals like in the NBA and the NHL, to see a company and a group of people coming together to give back to the players and to also, you know, showcase the talent that is in this league?
Oh, I mean, Kurt's just one of the nicest, most genuine human beings on earth. And, you know, the way that he's, you know, working with Paul Gate and, you know, they're treating us like professional athletes, and they make us feel like, you know, we are endorsed by some of the best in the world. And I think if you look at people around, you know, the different leagues that are endorsed, I'd put Kurt and Paul up just against anybody that endorses any athlete.
And we'll be able to see your Team 22 gloves in action this weekend. We talked about the 0-2 start, but you can get right back into things. A home-and-home with Philadelphia this weekend, starting on Saturday. What's going to be the biggest thing for you guys going into the doubleheader with Philly?
I think we just have to try to play our game. I mean, Philadelphia is a great team. I personally think that they've been overlooked. There's a couple of, you know, great ball players on that team, and, you know, their defense is probably the most athletic in the league. So we're going to have to capitalize on our opportunities, and, you know, we got to try to figure out a guy by the name of Evan Kirk, who we had a lot of trouble figuring out in practices last year, so now we got to try to do it in the game.
I was going to ask, does it help knowing, you know, Kirky for the past few years? Is that an added bonus, or is there just going to be some hostility, and is he going to have some of your guys' numbers?
Oh, I think he'll have a lot of our numbers. I mean, Evan's a great goalie. More than anything, Evan's a smart kid, and he studies players, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize how much work he puts in to, you know, be the best he can be. So I know Evan, I know he'll be fired up, and I know our team will be fired up. So hopefully we get the better end of this one, and, you know, we can put a couple by him. So
you talked about studying and Kirky watching film. Do you take time to go back and watch some of the games on the Lacrosse Network on YouTube?
Every time. Usually today and tomorrow I watch our game twice, just go through it and see things. The first time I watch it, I try to focus more so on myself and try to eliminate errors that way. And then the second time, I kind of watch the rest of the defense and, you know, the mistakes I make in transition and stuff like that to try to make sure they don't happen the following week, because like we all know in this league, every game is going to be close and tight. So if I can clean up one or two mistakes, you know, a week, and, you know, maybe one turns into not them not scoring a goal and one turning into us scoring a goal, it can be a huge difference, especially with a longer season, and it's going to be tougher to sneak into the playoffs.
Do you find weaknesses in your games often, or is it just maybe one or two things?
Often. I mean, if anyone can tell me they've played a perfect lacrosse game, I'd love for them to put it on.
Yeah.
And show it to me, because I don't think anyone can play the perfect game, whether it's, you know, your pass isn't perfect, you know, one shot selection you took was off, or, you know, you didn't score on every shot you took. So you can study those things. You can study how to use a pick better and, you know, how to react better on the faceoffs. And you can, you know, study your teammates more than anything.
If you're coaching a group of, say, 14, 15-year-old kids, what's probably the biggest lesson you try to teach them?
Just to make sure there's sticks in their hand. You know, you always have buddies, and there's a lot of walls, even if, when you're at school. Just make sure you're using your stick. And, you know, the fundamentals are the only way to understand it. You can get taught how to, you know, understand situations when you're on the floor at practice. But if you don't have the necessities to kind of pass and catch, and you're not going to get through any practices.
A couple more minutes here with Andrew Suter before we let him go and do some of that studying of game film. Is there any guy that, as you're watching game film and going back and watching some of the games over the weekend, is there just one of those guys that you're just like, wow, at some of the things that he does?
I'm a huge Dane Smith fan.
Yeah.
I think that he is up and coming, and as he continues to, you know, grow into a man, he's only 21 years old, and so I can almost see him as a dominant player in this league, and he's, you know, he's fun to watch, fun to play against. More than anything, he's just a great all-around kid.
Dane Smith was part of the Buffalo Bandit squad, who won two games this weekend, including a game in Philadelphia where the legend, Johnny Tavares, gets five, including the game winner. There's a guy that I still marvel at, 45 years old, still doing what he does. What are your fondest memories of JT growing up?
I remember watching JT as a, obviously growing up in Orangeville, being a Rock fan, and, you know, he's a Rock heartbreaker. And then it was even more incredible when I walked into the Peterborough dressing room and I got to sit beside him. So it was like, holy smokes, you know, this guy's doing everything I've wanted to do, and he's been doing it for the last, you know, 15 to 20 years. And just how smart he is and the respect he demands on the floor is incredible.
How do you feel about the state of the National Lacrosse League right now? Obviously, there was a lot of talk with the CBA and the longer contract, but now there's a salary cap and the roster size are shrunk. Do you think the NLL is going in the right direction?
Yeah, I do. I mean, without you know, rules like that and CBAs and the way for, you know, owners to save money, which a lot of people may not realize, but a lot of our owners, you know, aren't turning a huge profit right now, or if any. So, you know, it's kind of, you have to look at it in certain ways where it's like a boxing match. Everyone's going to throw stuff back and forth, but at some point you have to step back and, you know, save something. So that's kind of, I think, the way the CBA went. And my hat's off to the players union, the way they handled it, and even the owners. It was not a typical CBA negotiation where there was a lot of arguing back and forth and, you know, we'll lock out, we'll hold this. It was two parties that wanted to get it done, knew the importance of getting it done, and knew the importance of both sides being happy.
Final chance to get a few hot list questions in here with Andrew Suter. Rapid fire, biggest victory of your career?
Ooh, winning the Ontario Championship in Six Nations in 08.
Nice. Three words to define your game.
Gritty, hard, loud.
Nice. What pro athlete not playing lacrosse would make the best lacrosse player?
Hidomiku Sue.
Oh, nice. What position would you have him play?
Goalie, you wouldn't even have to move.
Last time you cried from laughing so hard?
Ryan Benesch cannonballing into a cold tub.
What book are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading the, I forget what it's called. That's how much I've read it. So I don't even lie to you.
Last one. If you weren't playing lacrosse, what sport would you be playing?
Golf.
How's your cap?
Terrible, but that's why you work on it.
Exactly. Suits, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got to get back at it, and you have a huge weekend against Philadelphia. The Swarm aren't out of it yet. It's a long season, and it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Thanks for taking some time to talk with us. It was great seeing you back on the floor, and good luck the rest of the way, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good day.
There is the captain of the Minnesota Swarm, Andrew Suter, one of the best and most exciting young players in the National Lacrosse League. Great to see him back playing. Because if you were watching that game in Edmonton last year, it wasn't a pretty sight, and we all collectively held our breaths hoping that Suter would be okay and would be back in the league, and he is. And he is the heart and soul of that Minnesota Swarm team. The captain looking to lead his team to the victory column as they head into a crucial home-and-home with the Philadelphia Wings this weekend. A lot of games on the schedules. Get out and see one if you can. Take a friend. The Vancouver Stealth again at home against Colorado. Then they got to go on the road to take on Calgary. So some interesting matchups in the National Lacrosse League this weekend. Enjoy the games, everybody. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Off the Crossbar podcast, courtesy of ilindoor.com and Inside the Cross. We'll talk to you next week. Be excellent to each other.